Chapter 57. I was took in dreadful, for I'm a straightforward chap, up to no tricks, mum. I can only say my nose is my own, for if I went beyond, I should lose myself pretty quick. And I'd jev 5 and 8 pence for that piece o' net, if I was to tell you anything else I should be telling you fibs, and 5 and 8 pence I shall ask of it, not a penny more, for it's a woman's article, and I like to accommodate the women. 5 and 8 pence for 6 yards, as cheap as if it was only the dirt on it as was paid for. Apostrophe, I don't mind, having 3 yards of it, said Mrs. Glegg. Why, there's but 6 altogether, said Bob. And no, mum, it isn't worth your while. You can go to the shop tomorrow and get the same pattern ready whitened. It's on 3 times the money. What's that to a lady like you? He gave an emphatic tie to his bundle. Come, lay me out that muslin, said Mrs. Glegg. Here's 8 shilling for it. You will be joking, said Bob, looking up with a laughing face. I see it you was a pleasant lady when I first come to the winder. Well, put it me out, said Mrs. Glegg, peremptorily. But if I let you have it for 10 shillin', mum, you'll be so good as not tell nobody. I should be a laughing stock. The trade 'ud hoot me if they knowed it. I'm obliged to make believe as I ask more, nor I do for my goods, else they'd find out I was a flat. I'm glad you don't insist you o' buying the net, for then I should ha' lost my 2 best bargains for Mrs. Pepper o' Phipps End, and she's a rare customer. Let me look at the net again, said Mrs. Glegg, yearning after the cheap spots and sprigs, now they were vanishing. Well, I can't deny you, mum, said Bob, handing it out. Hey, see what a pattern now. Real lace ham goods. Now, this is the sort of article I'm recommending Mr. Tom to send out. Lors, it's a fine thing for anybody as has got a bit o' money. These lace ham goods 'ud make it breed like maggots. If I was a lady, why a bit o' money? Why, I know one as put £30 into them goods. A lady, why a cork leg, but as sharp, you wouldn't catch her running her head into a sack. She'd see her way clear out o' anything afore she'd be in a hurry to start. Well, she let out £30 to a young man in the drapering line, and he laid it out I lace ham goods, and a supercargo o' my aquinitons, not salt, took 'em out, and she got her 8% first go off. And now you can't hold her, but she must be sending out cargoes why every ship, till she's getting as rich as a Jew. Bucks her name is, she doesn't live I this town. Now then, mum, if you'll please to give me the net, here's 15 shillin' then, for the 2, said Mrs. Glegg. Be but it's a shameful price. Nay, mum, you'll never say that, when you're you po' your knees I church I 5 years' time. I'm making you a present O.T.H. articles. I am, indeed. That 8 pence shaves off my profits as clean as a razor. Now then, sir, continued Bob, shouldering his pack, if you please, I'll be glad to go and see about making Mr. Tom's fortune. Eh, I wish I'd got another £20 to lay out my sen. I shouldn't stay to say my catechism afore I knowed what to do with. Stop a bit, Mr. Glegg, said the lady, as her husband took his hat, you never will give me the chance o' speaking. You will go away now, and finish everything about this business, and come back, and tell me it's too late for me to speak. As if I wasn't my nephew's own aunt, and the head o' the family on his mother's side. And laid by guineas, all full weight, for him, as he'll know who to respect when I'm laid in my coffin. Well, Mrs. G, say what you mean, said Mr. G, hastily. Well, then, I desire as nothing may be done without my knowing. I don't say as I shan't venture £20, if you make out as everything's right and safe. And if I do, Tom, concluded Mrs. Glegg, turning impressively to her nephew, I hope you'll always bear it in mind, and be grateful for such an aunt. I mean you to pay me interest, you know, I don't approve o' giving, we never looked for that in my family. Thank you, aunt, said Tom, rather proudly. I prefer having the money only lent to me. Very well, That's the Dachshund spirit, said Mrs. Glegg, rising together knitting with the sense that any further remark after this would be bathos. Salt that eminently riny chap having been discovered in a cloud of tobacco smoke at the Anchor Tavern, Mr. Glegg commenced inquiries which turned out satisfactorily enough to warrant the advance of the nest egg, to which Aunt Glegg contributed £20. And in this modest beginning you see the ground of a fact which might otherwise surprise you, namely, Tom's accumulation of a fund, unknown to his father, that promised in no very long time to meet the more tardy process of saving, and quite cover the deficit. When once his attention had been turned to this source of gain, Tom determined to make the most of it, and lost an opportunity of obtaining information and extending his small enterprises. In not telling his father, he was influenced by that strange mixture of opposite feelings which often gives equal truth to those who blame an action and those who admire it. Partly, it was that disinclination to confidence which is seen between near kindred, that family repulsion which spoils the most sacred relations of our lives. Partly, it was the desire to surprise his father with a great joy. He did not see that it would have been better to soothe the interval with a new hope, and prevent the delirium of a too sudden elation. At the time of Maggie's first meeting with Philip, Tom had already nearly £150 of his own capital, and while they were walking by the evening light in the Red Deeps, he, by the same evening light, was riding into Laceham, proud of being on his first journey on behalf of Guest and Company, and revolving in his mind all the chances that by the end of another year he should have doubled his gains, lifted off the obloquy of debt from his father's name, and perhaps, for he should be 21, have got a new start for himself, on a higher platform of employment. Did he not desire it? He was quite sure that he did. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.